This week on Chicago Beer Pass, I'm back from the Pacific Northwest, and Nick runs down all the stops he made, including Flossmoor Station, Lake Effect, and more. All that in this week's episode.
Because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up? I'm Nick White.
And I am back in Chicago.
It's good to see you, man. How was your trip, man?
It was pretty excellent. Yeah, I was out in the Pacific Northwest for the last week, which does not affect this podcast because we recorded early. Now we're just recording like a day late.
Yeah, it's so. Like this. We're still in step here. So
yeah, so our listeners, our viewers out there, they don't care. No. They just give me the news, give me the stuff, give me the podcast. But yeah, drinking Pacific Northwest beers, I really got sick of New England IPAs.
Really?
Every place had like three of them on. They all taste the same.
Not even the super freshness of them changed your mind about them?
No.
No?
No.
Still the same opinion.
It's just, oh, hey, these are all juicy. Sweet, man.
Right on.
And they all taste the same. All the same juiciness.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But had some other great beers while I was out there. Just a lot of, like, classic beers, too, that I've had before. Lots of, like, Ninkasi and...
Yeah, stuff you don't really get to out here.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's not too bad, yeah. But you were all over the place this past week.
You know, it was one of those weeks where it was just stayed out all week. Mm-hmm. It was good, man.
Oh, I guess before we dive into that, the beer we're drinking ties into one of the things you did.
Yes.
We're drinking Haymarket Beer's new canned beer. This is their IPA. What, the Alistair?
Alistair.
Yeah.
So from what I gather, the three that they're coming out with first are the Alistair, the Speaker's Wagon Pils, and Oscar's Pardon, which is like their Belgian pale.
Okay.
Yeah. First question people asked when we posted about it is like, are they canning Matthias?
Yeah, I don't think Matthias will get canned.
Yeah. It's a great beer, though.
Yeah.
This one's not bad either. 6.5%. Mm-hmm.
And we are recording this on IPA day.
Yeah,
so
man.
It all works out very well.
There you go.
Nice to see their, I don't know, beers and cans now available to drink at home. They have a nice look that kind of pop off the shelf. They're a little brighter and they're all like colored tops, so I don't know, they stand out a little bit when you're looking for them in the store.
I like these cans a lot, and the guys were I was at Haymarket this weekend, and the guys were just coming in from all these tastings they were doing at all the Bennies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, you want to see the cans? I'm like, yeah. And like you said, man, they're really fun. They're really fun to look at, so yeah. I'm excited about these cans, excited for them, you know.
Yes.
Being out in the wild.
6.5 percent beer. That's nice.
Right on.
All right. So then, yeah, so you were at Haymarket just saying hi to them. You did the Brew Bus tour.
Yeah, Brew Bus tour, stopped through Haymarket, Lagunitas, and Motor Row.
Okay.
Motor Row's got a beer on called A Night in the Tropics, which is a black Saison with mango.
Oh, cool.
And it sounds bizarre, but it's pouring very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where else did I go? I stopped through Bader Brow, stopped through One Trick Pony.
Yeah.
One Trick Pony actually had a nice beer on called Cocoa Butter Kisses. It was like an imperial stout.
Oh, okay.
Flossmoor Station.
Yeah.
Stopped through there.
I haven't been there in years.
Dude, I feel like, you know, we were on this South Suburban tour of breweries.
Okay.
And it's like, well, how many times are we going to go to Floyd's and 18th Street? Like, dude, let's get over to Homewood Flossmoor. Flossmoor Station sits right at the metro stop.
Yeah.
I was expecting the little ice cream. They got a little caboose in the back where it used to be like an ice cream shop.
Oh, it was?
It's the caboose is there, but it was closed. There's no ice cream. I'm like, what do you want? What are you doing to me?
I've never seen that as the ice cream place. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was cool. My favorite beers at Flossmoor were probably the Pullman Brown Ale, and then they have an Imperial Stout.
Yeah, that Pullman Brown's just like classic. It's solid.
It's timeless. Yeah, I think that's probably the best beer they make, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, but I did make it to a few proper events.
Okay. Right? What do you got?
Let's see. We'll start with I met the Leinenkugel boys. I went to the Dick and Jake Leinenkugel.
Oh, okay.
150th anniversary party.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw a picture on our Instagram /Chicago Beer Pass.
I think Dick was a little faded, man. He's holding his Oktoberfest Stein, like, but not holding the handle. He's like holding the cup.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, Dick, get your life together, bro. You gotta, you know, this is all right. Because they're telling us, like, this is your one shot. You have to take the shot as a group with Dick and John. So, bro, we all got the same shot, and Dick's got his cup. I was like, whatever.
Man, there's a handle on your cup for a reason.
But these guys were actually pretty cool, man. We talked last week about them being 150, which was kind of odd to me, just them being that old as a crew.
Yeah.
And they call it Jacob Leinenkugel's after their like great-great-granddad who led them through Prohibition. So, you know, when the feds came in and shut them down, it was Jacob Leinenkugel and his partners that got them back into brewing because they were making like a malt tonic and some other non-alcoholic stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
So they were bought 30 years ago by Miller. I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was like a recent thing for some reason. Mm. I thought it was like the last 5 years or so.
Yeah. I thought like maybe 10, but yeah, not that.
Yeah.
30. Wow.
Yeah. It was at the Hofbrauhaus up in Rosemont.
Okay.
And apparently, I got kind of sad because Hofbrauhaus, everything's poured in these like Oktoberfest steins. And, you know, I don't want to think about anything but summer. So the idea of Oktoberfest, I think it's too much. I don't want to do this.
I don't know. I went and picked up these cans at Binny's and Adam Smasher was front and center.
Bader Bros Oktoberfest rolled out this week. I sampled that on Saturday. I was like, I don't want any part. The beers are fine. I just don't want any part of October.
I was drinking Oktoberfest out in Portland. It was kind of like a chilly night. And yeah. I was like, and what is Oktoberfest? I was at a German bar. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. How many Bitburgers and Hofbräus can you drink?
Dude, I had never been to this Hofbräu thing up in Rosemont. This place is a party, dude. Okay. It's like a Tuesday night, and this place is completely packed.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they made a lager with Hofbräu, the original Hofbräu in Germany. Mm-hmm. They made 900 kegs there. And so this is the launch party for their anniversary lager. And the funny part is, like, Dick Leinenkugel and his brother John would come up and say, hey, man, this has been a trip for us because people roll up on us and they say, hey, man, we fucking hate your Shandy series, all of them, but we love this lager.
Yeah.
So he's like, wow, okay. It kind of gives him a chance to, like, you know, show that they have taste when it comes to making beers other than the Shandy. 9 out of 10 Shandy sold in America are Leinenkugels.
Nine out of ten.
Yeah. Okay. And that's probably packaged, I think.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I didn't know the difference between a Shandy and a Radler.
Yeah.
He said it's just that the Germans refer to it as a Shandy. And when you go over in the Europe, in the UK, rather. In the UK it's a Radler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're interchangeable.
They're basically the same thing.
They're the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So they had some trials where they kept putting a bunch of lemonade in the beer. And none of that worked at all. It tasted like fruit juice. But then they used like the lemon, what he would refer to as lemon flavors in the beer. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever that is, we didn't get that deep.
Okay. But,
yeah. It was a good time though, partying with those guys.
That's awesome. Up in Rosemont. Very cool.
He says Minneapolis is their top account. And yeah, followed by Chicago and Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Cool. So,
yeah, man. I wanted to ask him, hey, do you still live in Chippewa Falls? Like, when you sell the Miller and, like, you make all this Shandy and you're doing millions of cases a year.
I think you're out, man. You're out.
Do you just, like, build the biggest house in Chippewa Falls or do you live somewhere else?
Bigger and better things.
You know? So, but those are follow-up questions for the Liney boy. But they're cool, man. And that spot is cool. So.
Nice.
Yeah, and that beer, the beer is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 900 cases made. Yeah, 900 barrels made in Germany, and everything you see in bottles will be made in Chippewa Falls.
Okay, for the lager.
Yeah,
okay.
for the anniversary lager.
So, maybe I'll pick some of that up, or at least try it if I see it on draft.
Yeah.
Cool. So you did that. Then what else did you make? Did you ever run the Jewels last night, right?
One of my all-time favorite groups, man. Killer Mike and LP, Lollapalooza Week. Mm-hmm. The Emporium guys have a pop-up bar that started last night for the Stay Gold. It was a Run the Jewels pop-up bar.
Okay. So yeah. another Pipeworks pop-up bar.
Yeah. So I think they've done like four, and two of them now have been like with Pipeworks.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Stay Gold. So I didn't know much about the beer. I know that Interborough, Pace Magazine had that 50 Best IPAs article a few weeks ago, and or maybe it was Draft Magazine. Oh, but anyway, but Stay Gold was number one as far as in as far as the like a blind tasting of Hazy IPAs, the Interborough version.
Oh,
so my understanding is this is just like Pipeworks' take on that original recipe.
What'd you think of the beer?
You know, I was expecting it to be a little more juicy. I feel like this is more of a hazy pale than it is a hazy IPA.
Okay.
Right? Like it's I think you get a lot of like kind of like winter mints, kind of like piney, not winter mint, but more like it's piney and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I was expecting it to be like in your face juicy. And it wasn't that. It was dialed back some. More like a session would be versus like a full on like double.
Okay.
So, it was a good beer.
Cool.
Yeah. They had that. My favorite beer that night was this barrel-aged Imperial Porter from them. It was called As You Were, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was really good. And then they have a full list of cocktails, so I have to go back and try the cocktails.
Okay.
And the cocktails are named after all, like, the RTJ songs.
How long is the pop-up open for?
It's only 5 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, there's merch. There's cocktails. They have a Run of Jewels video game.
Nice.
Yeah. And that sort of thing.
So you, when you went, it was the first day.
Yeah, so there was about, I would say, 60 people in line when we showed up. About 15-minute wait.
You know, okay, so it'll be basically done after this weekend.
Yeah, this is just showing up for the weekend. They went through 30 cases in the first 90 minutes of the, because it's coming in bombers. This was basically a launch party for the beer.
You bought them to go. It wasn't just to buy them to drink there.
Right, like they had it on draft, but then you could buy them to go as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then, and this is the beauty of like a small independent brewery. They're like, oh, don't worry about it. We're out. We'll just go back to the brewery and get some more. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, just chill for like 10 minutes. And then sure enough, you see the Pipeworks guys rolling in with like 40 more cases. Yeah. I think they, and the limit dropped. It was a two beer limit. Then they dropped to one.
Okay.
Because I think they were trying to hold out on the next 40 for like the following night.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
So.
Cool. Good turnout then. If they ran out that quick, it must have been a good turnout.
Yeah. You're seeing people from everywhere, man. Mm-hmm. I saw the the Beer Temple guys were there. You know, I saw cats from Lagunitas. I do the brew bus starts at Lagunitas. The Lagunitas guys were there. It was just fun. There's a lot of good energy in the air, you know.
Cool.
And it was cool to see that beer. And you know, I was kind of hoping that the they said that the Interborough stuff would be there too. They would have like 4 or 5 Interborough beers, and I kind of want to go side by side.
Yeah, but no,
they weren't there. They hadn't made it yet. Shout out to Bornegy on Instagram. I saw him there, and I've seen him at a couple of events now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that was a good party, man.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
sounds good. I may have to try to make it there this weekend just to check it out. Does it look the same as the P-Dub?
It's very similar.
Just with hip hop playing the whole time.
Yeah, they got a nice playlist of, you know, the whole Outkast, Run the Jewels universe of stuff, and then. But I will say they do a good job of not overcrowding the place.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a line, but when you go in, it was very comfortable the whole time. I imagine that's just because it was like a Wednesday. I think it's gonna be out of control
this weekend. Yeah. Last time I was listening to Run the Jewels, I sometimes just hit play on Spotify, and then. I think I was like halfway through the Meow the Jewels.
Which is what is Meow the Jewels? I've heard of it.
It's just got like cat meows throughout. And I was like, man, this is like getting annoying. Because like I also have a cat that tends to meow often. It's like, what is going on in this? What am I listening to? And then I had to change it. But it was like halfway through the album before I was like, what is happening? What is this?
Meow the Jewels. Yeah, so their set at Pitchfork is Friday at 6. Their DJ, their road DJ Trackstar, is going to be performing tonight at 11.
Oh, cool.
There. So.
Awesome. Nice. Anything else your past week led you on while I was out of town?
No, I think that's, I want to say that's all I hit up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we mentioned Lollapalooza's this weekend, but that's very un-beer related.
Yeah, it's a Lakeshore Beverage production. They're going to hit you with a lot of the AB stuff and a lot of Goose stuff. That's how it was last year anyway. Yeah, I'm going to see that changing. Okay. It's all about brands there. You know, there's a Samsung stage, the Pepsi stage. If you're performing on the Samsung stage and you have a MacBook as a DJ, they make you cover up your Apple logo. Yeah, it's serious over there, man.
Whoa, okay. But then beer related, what do we got going on this week? I know we have a couple events coming up next weekend, like the Great Taste of the Midwest, that if you don't have tickets for, you're screwed.
You're screwed. There might be some on the secondary market. The big party this weekend is probably the Wells Park Fest. That is the Illinois Guild, Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, biggest party of the year. That's a $50 ticket. Wells Park is in North Center. So basically on, at the end of the block that Half Acre's on, the original Half Acre location.
And this, for 2 years in a row, was the closing event for Chicago Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, and this year, Chicago Craft Beer Week didn't get a replacement for the close. They just said, hey, we're moving this. It's, if it's the biggest event of the year, I can see how you put it right in the middle of summer. Lollapalooza is the biggest event for in Chicago for the whole year. So put it right in the middle.
I don't think I'm going to make it to this.
I'm probably going to miss this.
Yeah, I know.
It looks like every brewery in the state is going to be at this thing. Yeah. The list is pretty long.
Yeah, don't imagine it being... It's probably a great event. It's worth the money if you make it out there and just want to hang out and drink for the day.
Yeah, $50 ticket. It's VIP starts at noon. General admission is 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else this weekend?
Kurt Foreman's having a cruise this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, I want to say it's a Wisconsin Beer and Cheese Cruise.
Beer and Cheese Cruise,
yeah, so that's the Mystic Blue. That leaves Navy Pier at noon.
Okay.
Yeah, you can check out Brewfest Partners for information on that. Yeah. Those were the two big events for this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, me not making it to anything. We're cruising through this episode, but there's a bunch. There's a bunch of news. Like, I think we get hung up in the news sometimes. So there's a lot to happen this week, especially just yesterday.
Yeah. Right. For sure. Let's dive into some of this stuff. Cheers to Argus and Kimbark Bottle Shop. They've got a collaboration beer. It's a farmhouse ale aged in wine barrels. It's pretty cool because it's a tribute beer honoring the legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen. So what they'll do is take $5 from every bottle sold from this beer, and they'll teach African-American teens how to fly. Yeah, like fly like helicopters and planes.
Oh, okay, not just like jump off this building like, and like not, you're going to fly.
Not like I Believe I Can Fly, like the R. Kelly song, or Learning to Fly. Like the Tom Petty
actually
song.
Like flying an airplane.
Like actually flying an aircraft. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is
okay.
That is very cool. We talked about Ballast Point is gonna open in West Loop.
Oh, really?
So apparently this is their 7th location, man.
Really?
They got like 4 in Cali. They got like they're gonna have a big off a big space in Virginia. And then they're coming to West Loop.
With like a 3-barrel system?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is basically like Restaurant Row.
Yeah.
It's like around the corner from, like, you know, Little Goat. Mm. What is Ballast Point doing here, man?
Yeah, I feel like their beers are fine.
Yeah.
I don't need a Ballast Point brewery in Chicago.
This is all very bizarre to me.
I think I want to say like guys drink beer or someone share this on Facebook, and I was like, I'd rather see a Chicago brewery opening here.
Or the long awaited Solemn Oath thing, or maybe the War Pigs or Floyd's Tap Room or something like that. You'd rather see something like that.
I think that's way more interesting than Ballast Point.
I mean, I can go to Walgreens right now and there'll be every flavor Sculpin known to man sky high to the ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. So why?
Yeah.
What's the game plan here?
Not a lot of enthusiasm on this show regarding Ballast Point.
No, yeah. Did you follow this story at all? Did you see, was anyone else like hyped for this?
I mean, people were just kind of like more or less just discussing it like, whoa, you know, because that's the most, prestigious, but as far as Restaurant Row goes, I think that's the strip for restaurants in Chicago, right? It's the most competitive, you know, it's probably the best strip of restaurants in the city. So I think that caught a lot of people's attention. Like, hey, this is being built right over there.
But, like, what are you going to have? Are you going to have bar food? Like, Haymarket has, they have bar food, but they have, like, nice pizzas and burgers.
Yeah.
If you're going to show up on Randolph with, like, wings and stuff, that's not gonna fly. It's not like a sports bar. Like, I don't know what their other bars look like, but I just have a picture in my mind that I feel like it's going to feel out of place.
Other than, I mean, you know, they do make spirits, so maybe there'll be a spirits play there. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like, what other beers do they make besides, I'm sure they make other beers, but Victory at Sea, and the different variants of that, and then the Sculpin variants are really all I know from them.
They have other beer, fish-named beers, too.
Right on.
Yeah.
There you go. Like Longfin. I think I've heard
Longfin. Yeah, Longfin, that's one. I don't know. Swordfish. I don't know. Just name a fish. They probably have a beer named after it and a strawberry flavor of it or something. Yeah, that strawberry catfish from Bellis Point is real good.
You are a sick, sick puppy, Brad. Oh, yeah, one more thing, man. Shout out to Lake Effect. We've had Clint from Lake Effect on the show. I made a stop at Lake Effect this week.
Oh, cool.
Because they had a pasting. They had a pasting panel.
Tasting?
They had a tasting panel on some new beers that they're trying out. So there's this smoked Kolsch. There's a Goza, which was really good. He said his first Rev 1 of the smoked Kolsch was like the fastest selling beer ever for them for some reason.
Okay.
He couldn't figure out why. And then the Fernet guys were there. And the Fernet guys were just sampling out. Apparently, there's two types of Fernet. I didn't know that. There's a Fernet Menta and a Fernet Branca, right? One's an aperitif, one's a digestif.
Oh, I think I only know the Branca.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the Menta. So the Fernet guys were there just sampling out Fernet. And then the idea was that, you know, the crowd, maybe like 40 to 60 people, just come up with ideas on what to do with this Fernet.
Okay.
You know, because that's a bizarre. Fernet is like, I've heard some things like, it's like, you know, it's like Brussels sprouts and ice cream. It's like, it's a bizarre combination of flavors. It's like if Malort and toothpaste had a baby. I think I heard that.
Yeah, that I agree with. Yeah. You know,
there's just like this overwhelming, there's just like this lingering, like mint and oak aftertaste that just kind of hangs out forever, you know, and then all the chocolate and, you know, botanical goodness is up front. You know, it's a bizarre thing. My favorite part about this was they had a gin barrel aged beer that I liked from Journeyman Distillery.
Oh, cool.
Was the gin producer. And apparently some gins are being put in like bourbon barrels.
Oh, really?
So this gin had like a really dark color, kind of like what we're drinking. It looks like this, just a little bit darker than this Alistair we're drinking. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, but anyway, that was a really fun trip. I hadn't been to Lake Effect in a long time.
I'm not a Fernet fan.
Yeah, I think some folks were saying, hey, man, either a Saison, but I think the safe play here is to just let the Fernet do its thing if you got a Fernet barrel and put a sweet stout in there, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
To offset all the Fernet stuff, because you know the Fernettiness of it. I don't know if you got around to it, but the Forbidden Root guys had a black ale that they put in Fernet barrels called Frenetic.
Okay.
And our reviews were mixed on that. I don't know if people were drawn to that or not. But
interesting. Okay.
But yeah, I saw the Lake Effect guys this week.
Very cool. Okay.
So, right on.
What else we got in the news? We got a story that happened, yesterday about Anchor Brewing saying goodbye to their sort of independence. They were already kind of backed by an investment group of some kind, right?
Yeah, exactly. They were founded in 1896, the Anchor guys. And yeah, they've gone through a bunch of changes over the years. But yeah, they recently got bought by Sapporo in Japan for $85 million.
Okay.
So they're the 22nd largest brewery in the country.
Wow, okay.
$85 million seems like a deal when you look at the Lagunitas. Lagunitas was like $1 billion. Of course, the Sculpin guys, Ballast Point, they're also a distillery, but they got $1 billion. You know, mm-hmm. So $85 million seems like a steal for Sapporo.
Yeah, why? What did Anchor? Did Anchor must have? Maybe there's problems there that we don't know. That's in their balance sheet. That's like not worth it.
Yeah, and they're just kind of like wiping their hands of it, kind of.
Maybe.
That's tough. I mean, that's you know, I know their plans to build like a massive like Anchor facility over by because I was out there a couple years ago, and they're right by the ballpark where the San Francisco Giants play.
Oh, okay.
They're supposed to be this, I think it's called like Pier 47 or something like that. Yep. This really state-of-the-art, huge, right along the water fucking brewery. And yep. I wonder how this affects that. Yeah.
Maybe it's to help kick it into gear.
Yeah, maybe. This is one of the oldest breweries in America.
Yeah, this one, I don't know. I guess I care a little bit, but at the same time, I'm just kind of like, eh. Like, I didn't, it's another one of those beers, sometimes this happens, where you're just like, I didn't drink that beer that much, so this doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
But Anchor Steam is always just a solid beer.
Yeah, the Anchor Christmas Ale is something that people get excited about.
Yeah, that's true.
Verticals, all your, you know, of like, you know, 20, 30 year verticals of it.
Uh-huh.
There was a Hop Leaf party that reminded me of the importance of Anchor, you know, maybe like last year, you know, because it was one of the first, you know, that was one of their first beers that they sold was Anchor. But then also, but outside of that, yeah, it's not one of those, it's one of those brands that, you know, you're just kind of disconnected from. However, a lot of people credit them as being like the first craft brewery.
Right.
You know, so like, you know, when Fritz Maytag took it over, you know, this is like in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, when I was just kind of like, this was even before Sierra Nevada. The legend has it that the Sierra Nevada guys would like, you know, get bottles of Anchor and, you know, propagate the yeast that was sitting in the sediment at the bottom of them. And that became the yeast for their pale ale. You know?
Wow. Okay.
It's the stuff of legend out on the West Coast, man. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, I guess it is an end of an era, mm-hmm. you know. But we're at a point now where we're becoming kind of numb to the sales, I think, right?
A little bit, I think, if anyone's that big, you're just kind of like, I figured it was going to happen. So just kind of waiting, like, now we're what? Yeah, we're waiting for some of these other ones to do it as well.
Yeah, it sounds like the Japanese, you know, really care about the history and the brand, and the guys running Anchor felt comfortable selling to them. So
that's cool. Like, yeah.
You know, the Japanese, they you know, Kieran bought Four Roses maybe like 5 years ago.
Oh,
now.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and They take an interest in American spirits all the time.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I just don't have a lot. It was more of a, whoa, crazy, and then like, okay, I'm gonna move on from this one.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've ordered an Anchor beer. I do love the little teardrop bottle though.
Yeah. I have nice bottles, and yeah, the Christmas ale. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. So. Cool.
Anything else in the news before we wrap up this week's episode?
One more bit of news. Pace Magazine came out with a list of their the top 50 like wild ales in America.
Okay.
So let's just run through the top five. Let's see. Cricket Stave in Denver. They have a Petite Raspberry.
Oh, okay.
Number four is Wicked Weed's Golden Angel.
AB Brewery.
Yeah. Recently purchased by Anheuser-Busch. Number three is Chicago's own Half Acre.
Whoa.
Yeah, Half Acre has a beer called Magic is Purple. Yeah, 7.5% wild ale.
This must be a new beer because their sour program just kind of started.
Yeah, the cool thing about this is that this is the first beer in their sour beer program.
And it's already the best sour beer that if you're any other sour brewery out there, you got to be like kind of like, crap.
How cool is that, man? How cool is that? That's only their first beer. Number two was Firestone Walker's Feral Peach. Number one was a crew from Denver called the Black Project Peacemaker, and Black Project was the number one beer.
Okay.
But yeah, Half Acre at number three on that list.
That's pretty great, yeah. Yeah, seems like Pace has been kicking on a lot of lists lately.
That's their thing, man. I wonder I think they asked for submissions, and I wonder if like New Glarus got involved in that. You know,
please send us your beer for us to put on your list.
Yeah.
Send us beer to drink here on the show. No problems with that.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it, I think, for this week's episode then. Coming out a day later, so this should go up on Friday sometime, but we'll be back to probably our normal schedule next week. Yeah.
Right on.
But Nick, where can people find you when we're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. We mentioned the Instagram page at Chicago Beer Pass. We've been posting lots of stuff there, or rather, Nick has been posting lots of stuff there. I posted a hot dog and then I disappeared for a week.
For 7 days.
The Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass. We're always sharing other events, posting other photos, just other things that end up popping up there. So check that out as well. We're all over the place. Different things for each social media site out there. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, man.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Cheers.